Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So we have a theme on Twitch.
Yeah?
Yeah. The theme is the cost to curse. And here's how it goes. Kitek says, the cost to curse is real. Costa forces his way into the Pistons bandwagon, and they lose to the worst team in the NBA. He follows it up with, Costa gives up on the Red Wings, and they end their losing streak. Then there's...
And now he's telling people...
Comment, more trophies for Heather. And then it comes back, beware the cost of curse when picking your bracket. Yes, he spent a whole segment talking about MSU one seed, so you know they will lose today. The cost of curse, is it real?
They'll shoot like 1-16 and get bounced in their first Big Ten
to Oregon
tournament game against Oregon. Well, the good news for everybody is that Javi's going to have a great season. Javi Baez is going to have a great year because I don't get it. I don't see it. AJ Hinch was on with us yesterday. He said, hey, Javi's going to play third a little bit. And he played third yesterday in their spring training game. And John, are you at all surprised he committed an error in his first game at third base? I don't know how you feel about this. We didn't really talk about it because we had AJ on and we had a bunch of other stuff as you slept on it. The idea that Javi's going to be this utility guy. He said yesterday he wants to play some center field. How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, okay, that seems to be the more of a kid's dream. Like when I got in the major leagues, I wanted to be able to play shortstop. That's my spot. Maybe I could play this. Maybe I chase some fly balls in the outfield. Okay, I think he was probably I didn't hear the context of that comment. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's really going to play center field.
No, I don't either.
Third base. What takes a better glove? Different skill sets, different perspectives.
Typically, you're better defenders at short. So you see shortstops that do play third when they get a little older.
Right. So I'm not going to sit here and say because that he played third base for one spring training game and had an error, that he, this is stupid. This is terrible. I'm willing to give it some time to see because I don't know. He's, as much as this sounds ridiculous, he's performing better than Jace Young.
Right.
And Vierling's not available.
Right. Some of this is out of necessity.
Yeah, this is clearly out of necessity. So I'm not going to sit here and skewer AJ Hinch for putting him over at third base. I'm also not going to skewer Javi Baez more than we enjoy doing that on a regular basis because it was his first day at third base.
Yeah, I'm not skewering AJ. He's on the roster. Well, for whatever reason, he's going to end up on this roster. There's $70 million reasons why he's on this roster. AJ is going to try to get the most out of him. They'll likely platoon him against lefties, right? Yeah. He's a right-handed bat. They don't have enough right-handed bats. AJ is going to try to make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. But do I believe Javi Baez deserves creative ways to get into the lineup? No, his bat's terrible. I'm not falling over to try to get this guy more ABs. I do like that he's moved off of maybe being the primary shortstop because then it's just one step away from not even being on the team.
Sure.
But the idea that I need to find ways to get him more at-bats, have we not seen at-bats from Javi Baez? He was a minus defender a year ago at shortstop. And I don't know that it's going to be a smooth transition to playing more third base. I get why they're doing it. I don't necessarily like it. I hope it just means that they're not reliant on him at shortstop and they're just going to kind of pop him in against lefties. And if he hits, great. And if he doesn't, he's off the team. But that second part, I just don't trust.
I agree. And I don't know. Okay, the simple answer that all of us would love to hear is that Javi Baez isn't going to be a part of the roster. But if that's the case, and you're looking at, he's got, as much as it pains me to say this, he's got a better track record than Jace Young.
Sure.
And so who are you going to put at third base?
Well, Jace is a lefty bat, so he'll play primarily against righties. Most pitchers are right-handed. Jace will likely play more. But if Jace is a disaster defensively at third base, what's the answer? Because I don't want Javi facing right-handed pitching.
A bigger risk of him being a disaster at the place than there is him being a disaster at third base.
Jace had a bumpy year defensively last year.
Sure.
And he's had a bumpy spring at the plate. So what if Jace is not ready for the bigs right now? Then he goes down to AAA. Who is this team's third baseman? You can't tell me Javi Baez is playing every day against right-handers. You just can't. And I really want to know, the only way we'll see is when it plays out, John. Okay,
you don't want me to say it. I'll just
go ahead.
Wait for you to start a new thought.
Go ahead.
Because I don't know what your answer is.
The answer is not the greatest of answers. It's Zach McKinstry.
Yeah, probably.
Your third baseman right now, like, kind of just hit me a little bit here that I think right now Jace Young is in jeopardy of making this team. You start boiling down the numbers and you see how Torque is hitting. You know, if he has revived himself a degree to where he's going to be a 20 home run guy, you know what that means for this lineup, especially with Vierling maybe missing time? I know you're laughing and smiling,
no,
but
it's just because I was laughing because the idea is, you remember when they drafted Spencer Torkelson? They made a big deal about announcing his position.
Yeah.
Everybody projected him as a major league first baseman, but they said, we're drafting number one overall third baseman Spencer Torkelson. If you were going to move someone over to third for a little bit here, wouldn't it be him?
Well, has he even practiced
it? I know.
But that's the thing. They have this dilemma where, like, if Jace Young has really been, like, this horrible this spring and you can't trust him completely defensively, then you put McKinstry over there. And it's not like, it's almost like Vierling light in some ways with him. You can trust him. You got to be able to trust the guys defensively. You have to put some sort of legitimate defense behind this pitching staff, which has been outstanding for most of the spring.
Let me back up with the Javi thing. There will be people who say, let's give him a chance. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's give Hinch creatively with the lineup the benefit of the doubt and see what happens, right? Do you trust both ways, though? Do you we'll trust them to get off on the right foot and make the most of the bats they have. Do you trust that if he struggles the way he has for several consecutive seasons, do you trust them to kick him off the roster? Because I don't. Do you? Fine, I'll trust that you're going to play Javi to start the season. And if he's batting 185, do we trust them to remove him from the roster entirely? I don't.
Well, John made the point, though. You trust Javi more than Young. Are these two great options? Absolutely not, potentially. But the track record is that I'm really starting to think here, like, there could be a three-headed monster between short and third base of McKinstry, Sweeney, and Baez.
Well, don't forget Ibanez, too.
And Ibanez, yeah, as well. So you got two right-handers and two left-handers. And to me, that leaves Young out. Plus, options play into this, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You're so frustrated, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm just
gonna have Matt Chapman over there and everything will be fine.
See, you're gonna get me going. Is the case not to keep Jace Young on upside, though?
If he's not hitting well, you send him down and you get him right.
But I'm saying to make the opening day roster.
I don't know, man. To me, this seems like the puzzle says he's out.
Yeah. And Javi's
And especially if Torque is pushing his way onto the roster.
Why is it always third base? Why is that where everything has just festered?
Just to annoy you.
Festered at third base. We did this a year ago with Chapman. We did the Bregman saga. I know he who shall not be named. Vierling, we had the whole debate, how good is Vierling? And he deserves a role, but now he's hurt. It's always third base. Jace Young is this prospect we can't block, but now he might not even make the team a year later for Javi, of all people, to play. Why is it always third base? They have not been able to solidify that position for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating because you thought you were, you know, you might have an answer there, which would have made things a lot easier, especially with the injuries that they've suffered so far in spring training, because it's not going to be the only injuries.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if Javi, you know, has 2 weeks where he's still recovering? Like, I know he's out there playing, but it's not that far removed from the hip surgery. What happens if it gets stiff for a couple of weeks and they want to give him a couple of weeks to, you know, to rest it up? What do you do then while Vierling is still out?
I wish I could have bottled up the energy at the end of last season, because I think a lot of people have forgotten. We did the conversation and we weren't the only show to talk about it. If Javi's on this team to start the season, you will feel insulted. You'll feel cheated. This team won a bunch of games without Javi in the lineup last year. He shouldn't be on the team. And now here we are talking about him carving out additional ABs and playing additional positions.
Well, what if his glove is better than Jace Young? And, you know, so he does settle into that third base position as a defender, mm-hmm. and he's batting 220. Are you okay to live with it?
I have no choice, John.
No, I know you don't have a choice.
I'm not okay with it.
Because you're not going to go out, you're not going to bring in another third baseman right now.
Right, because they were all in on one guy and didn't get him.
Yeah.
They didn't have a
I mean, the only other argument is you are allowed to make trades. You could still add to the roster. You could still go out there and say, you know what, we didn't foresee Vierling. We didn't foresee Parker Meadows. We didn't foresee Jace Young not being able to take that step and be able to hit. We didn't see Trey Sweeney. I mean, you should be able to see Trey Sweeney struggle at the plate. But, okay, this is the position that we're in. Do we want to go out there and add to this team? Because we still can.
The trade thing's interesting because I just had some random thought back here. Does Torque have any value?
Sure.
Not until he proves it in the regular season. But that might be too late.
It only takes one, though. If they see him in spring and they know his background, and I don't know.
Is there somebody in Major League Baseball that says, you know what I could do with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody traded, you know, Luca for Anthony Davis in sports, so anything can happen.
Yeah. We got a couple Tiger phone calls and ticket texts to read. Get an update on Lucy last night. Did she hit the game-winning shot? Did they pull off the win at Mackey? Talked a little bit about it yesterday. We'll pay it off next, 97.1. And keep an eye on that calendar. We are 2 weeks away.
Oh, yeah.
Tigers, Dodgers, baseball's back.
It's a great time. Sweet spot of the season, of the year. Got March Madness. We got baseball.
It's on the horizon. Yeah. Perfect time to check in with the Tiger manager, AJ Hinch. AJ, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to hear from you guys. It's been baseball season for a while now. I know you guys just said it's the sweet spot, but we've been going at it.
Well, it's the sweet spot because the games will actually mean something. And I know when we ask you this, you always say, well, it's one of 162. But yeah, we'll finally get a chance to see baseball here in Detroit because we actually do have good weather right now.
Oh, really? Nice. We have... Yeah, hopefully you can dial that up for the first homestand after the West Coast swing. If you can guarantee that, that'd be awesome. So Miggy's in town. And it always brings back the idea that opening day where it snowed and he went oppo and slid into second. So we don't need another snow day on opening day.
Yeah. I actually had a Miggy question. I'll just ask it here. It's a two-parter. Does he have a future in coaching, and can you confirm that he is in the best shape of his life for spring training?
Well, I mean, Miggy can do whatever Miggy wants. It's fun to have him around. He spent a lot of time with his family. You know, he came in and if you think about the culture of our team and just the story around us the last 12 months, he's one of the few guys that saw Comerica packed and saw Comerica during playoff runs and World Series and things that this team aspires to be. And so, you know, he came in and he was so proud of our group last year. And, you know, it's a different team than when he retired. We have a few new players. There are obviously some guys that played with him, but, you know, having him around and lobbing a few coaching things and just his laugh and, you know, this is the happiest he is in spring training. This is not the same version as a player when he just wanted to get to the season. But I love having him here to mentor, you know, our young kids in PD or our guys around the big leagues that recognize him as one of the all-time greats.
Let's talk Spencer Torkelson. You know, he had a home run yesterday, so he's top of mind. Spring this year, much different than last year. What's so different with him right now?
Well, I think his confidence is growing, which is good. I think he realized he's fighting to make this roster. That always, you know, brings out a lot of good things in players. And then, you know, some of the subtle adjustments, you know, it does take, you know, sort of a trained eye to look at the stance, the athleticism, the approach, the way he's talking about hitting, the way that, you know, he's balancing sort of his search to hit the ball hard, but also for power. All of that has been taken into the games. And so he's gone oppo, he went pull side, it's been a late count. He's come off of bat at bats and been a productive hitter. And, you know, I kind of love the edge that he's playing with, you know, in his own little methodical way, he's just focused on the things that he can control, and he's trying to make this team. So I don't know if any or all of that is different. There's a maturation process for these hitters, but it's certainly been fun to watch him, you know, come in and push to be the best player he can be all the way in the spring, and not just like quote unquote prepare for the season. He's got to try to make this team.
Has he done enough to be able to trust the production? How do you measure what he's done in spring training versus what you've seen in previous years?
You know, it's actually a really good topic that I'll try to explain. It's because I think it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? So when you look at a player and a guy has a terrible spring, if you like the player, you're like, oh, it's just the spring. He's going to be fine during the season. If you're critical of the player, and I mean all of us, it's like, oh my God, and, you know, and the alarm bells go off. And on the flip side, if somebody really goes off during the spring, you know, if you're kind of, you know, interested in that player being on your team, you can say like, he's turned the corner. And if you don't, it's like, oh, it's just spring training. So I think you got to be careful with spring evaluation, but at the same time, what's a player to do other than go and do his best and perform and see where it goes? I mean, the real challenges are going to be during the season.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Femininio, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, GetDavidGetPaid.com. Get your life back on track. GetDavidGetPaid.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Season for all these guys, but I'd rather guys be doing well than scuffling in the spring. I mean, that's what we're here for.
You mentioned the difference in the roster when we asked about Miguel Cabrera, that it's a different roster now. How are the roster decisions different this year for you as you approach the end of spring training versus previous seasons that you've been here in Detroit?
Yeah, so I think the names have changed. You know, there are some guys that have come to spring the last couple of years and known they've been on the team, and now they're fighting for roster spots. I think the depth is really, really good. I mean, we're not going on like a spring ERA, you know, ranking system or a batting average ranking system. I mean, we're going to need to put together the best team that we can take to LA, and that might align with spring training performance. It might not, but I think the names are different. I think the specific positions that we're trying to fill are a little bit different. I mean, the rotation guys are pitching awesome. Casey Mize has been great. Kenta has made some adjustments. Cater Montero, you know, has great stuff. And when he locks it in the strike zone, he's shown some dominant things. Jackson Jobe has been, everything is advertised. That's four guys for two spots in the rotation, and that in itself shows the strength of the depth of this team. And then lastly, I think we're going to need to make some calls at the end of spring based on injury. We know Matt Vierling's going to miss, you know, some of the season. We're still holding out hope that this nerve wakes up with Parker Meadows and he's able to put together a good week and a half of spring training and get himself to L.A. That's undetermined, which leaves a lot of decisions on – you know, the bench bats or who's playing the outfield or who's playing in center field, things like that, that may not be resolved until we get to those exhibition games in San Francisco.
You mentioned the rotation and there's only a couple spots for more than a couple guys. With Jackson Jobe, does he have to be a starter to make the team, or would you take him even in a bullpen role kind of like he was at the end of last season?
Yeah, we see him as a starter, and I think the best thing for him, I mean, when he came to the bullpen last year, that was a unique experience. You know, it was the playoffs, and we were trying to make the playoffs, and, you know, when we talked about having the biggest impact that we could have, I mean, Jackson has some of the best stuff on our team. So we put him in the pen, and I told him then, I mean, this could be the one snippet in your career where you're in the bullpen. I hope it is. And so this spring, it's been entirely a conversation about the rotation, and I don't see it changing, you know, for the beginning of the season. If he makes his team, it's going to be in the rotation and he'll pitch, you know, towards the back end of the rotation. If he doesn't, it's because that we feel like the rotation is better a different way and he needs things to work on. So it's been rotation only.
When you look at the prospects of starting the season, as you mentioned, without Vierling and possibly without Parker Meadows, what are some of the combinations you may use in center field and just in terms of the lineup to make things, as you mentioned, you know, productive?
Right. Well, I think the first thing, we'll wait for Parker and see where that's at. In the meantime, Wetzel Perez, who's had a little bit of back stiffness, and because of, you know, Parker being out up to this date and Vierling being out to start the season, we're treating Wetzel with, you know, a ton of patience and being uber cautious. So, you know, he's going to get some time in center field. Riley Green played center yesterday. He'll play center today. You know, it's not a position that I'm going to want to just turn over to him. You know, either way, if Parker's playing, then obviously he's playing center field. If Parker doesn't make the season, you know, we'll have to make determination how much center field that we're going to push Riley to do. So those two guys are going to get a ton of action. I've put Ryan Kreidler out there and Jamai Jones, two guys trying to make the rotate. I mean, trying to make the team. Those guys, you know, could possibly fill in, and but a lot of it just centers around the Parker decision first on whether he can make the season or not, and then we'll adjust accordingly. But some combination of those other four players, if Parker's unavailable.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch this morning, 2 weeks out from their first game of the season. Javi Baez, nobody gets a more visceral reaction on talk radio than Javi. What are you seeing with his hip? Is he slated to be the everyday shortstop at this point?
So, well, into the first part, what I'm seeing with his hip is that he's feeling better and better every day. Some of that is physically, and I think some of it is mentally. You know, he had a surgery that he had to rehab, and now we got to get him away from rehab and into just playing, you know, with freedom and knowing. Now, he slid and he's dove after a ball, and you know, he's fully rotated at the plate. Like, he's been cleared and has no limitations at all. And we'll see where that takes him. Now, as far as the second part, you know, is he the everyday shortstop? And I think the answer is to be determined, but I can tell you, like, today he's playing third base, which is going to be new for everybody, but not new to Javi. Javi did that, you know, a few years back when he was one of the best, you know, and almost original players moving around the field playing at an all-star caliber level. So we're going to reintroduce a few positions to him. It's going to start today when the lineup comes out. He's playing third, swinging, playing short. There is room on the roster for both. And I'm going to play the best guy. And I think that's been something I've been very consistent about at the shortstop position. Obviously, Javi was hurt last year. Trey came up and did a really, really nice job. So, you know, it's to be determined how that's all, you know, giving up, so to speak, but it's going to be giving up by quality of play. And everybody knows it. And I think it's been a good camp for Javi. It's been nice to see him, you know, sort of happy and healthy and doing the things that we need. And having a better performance out of him and others to make these decisions moving forward. The thing that I caution against for everybody, and I know there's in baseball, there's this, who's the everyday this, who's the everyday that. And I think this team, the way we've shown the last, you know, year plus, is we're willing to put any combination out there to help us win that day's game, and that mentality is not going to change.
First base with Cole Keith, how has he made the transition? What are you seeing from him, and how confident are you that he is going to be able to be that everyday first baseman?
Cole? You talking about Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. I mean, the glove is big. The adjustments are there. You know, I tried to caution everybody that there was going to be a learning curve and that it was okay for him to make a few mistakes down here. He actually hasn't made as many mistakes as I think I would have expected, just sort of like dropping a guy at first base for the first time in his career. He's naturally done some really good things. And then there's been a couple of reads and some depth issues, like things that even in a box score you're not going to see, that we're continuing to, you know, it's the timing on crashing on a pick play from Jake Rogers. It's coming off the bag at a certain angle to give yourself the right hop, you know, when a runner is on first. So not everything is sort of dictated to the ball hit to him. There's a lot for him to learn. Positioning himself when a ball's coming from Jace at third versus Sweeney at short versus Glaber at second. Those are all new things, and I know it sounds sort of coach speak, and it sounds like I'm focused on small things, but that's really what's going to make him comfortable. And he's been great. He's put in a ton of work. He and Miggy, I think, are going to work a little bit today, which is one of the reasons Miggy's in town. And Joey's been pretty relentless at his routine. So I have a ton of confidence in Colt in general, but he will figure out this position as we go. And then depending on how the roster is built, you know, for the rest of the balance of the roster, like, is Jahan factoring in? Where is Torque on this roster? Who else? You know, Andy played first yesterday on the back end because in-game moves as we've shown, is, you know, sometimes guys end up in different positions.
Yeah, that's actually the last thing I wanted to ask you about is kind of a roster projection question. As Torkelson hits, as Jay Hen hits, they're both right-handed bats. They can both DH first base. Jay Hen's played the outfield. Can they both make the team, or do you have to take one or the other?
No, I think so. I mean, I think the combination, you know, first off, the opening day is the first deadline, right? Like, it's the first time where you have to declare, like, these are our 26. And so, depending on our health, depending on who we're facing, I'm guessing we're going to get Blake Snell in that first series. I'm guessing we're going to get, you know, the Martin Perez, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon in the first homestand. I don't know what we're going to do yet. And not knowing if Parker's coming back soon, if he doesn't make the roster and comes back soon, does he start the roster, but we need to protect him? Like, those are going to determine the balance of the roster. But to answer your question, yes, I think there's a roster that can be made with both those guys. And while imperfect on the defensive front, it might help us offensively to combat some of the left-handed pitching that we're going to face. And then we can correct it along the way if it needs to change. I mean, we have depth, and we don't have to commit to a team on the first day of the season being the team for the rest of the season. And we're going to take into account, you know, how we can go series by series and put together the best team.
AJ, we'll talk to you again when the games are for real. We can't wait. Thank you.
You got it.
Yep. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys. See you.
Tiger manager AJ Hinch. It's 97.1. The Tigers. The countdown is on, a little more than 2 weeks away, and there are three Tigers that you and I think many fans are circling, wondering, this is it for them, their last chance.
Yeah.
Who are they?
Well, two of them because of their draft status and the expectations when they came to Detroit. Obviously, it's Casey Mize and Spencer Torkelson. And then there's a third that we have been talking about since he arrived in Detroit as a high-priced signing. That's Javi Baez. The surgery happened at the end of last year, and we've heard he's working his way back. We're hoping this helps him loosen up his hips defensively and offensively. I'm not sure how it's attached to, you know, his eyes in regards to the decisions of which pitches he swings at or not. And AJ Hinch has talked about, yeah, he's working on plate discipline. Okay, who's not?
Right.
So the question is, I think we all believe that Javi Baez will be on the opening day roster, like it or not. The bigger question is Casey Mize and Spencer Torkelson. Casey Mize has looked good on the mound. And this is now 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. Is he a part of the starting rotation? How much hope, dream, whatever it is that you want to say, do you have for Casey Mize? Same thing with Spencer Torkelson. How much belief do you have that he can be a part of this, a contributing part of this roster? And is he on it for opening day? And I think most people, as fans, would sit there and say, yes, we want the best.
Mm-hmm.
We want the best version of Casey Mize. We want the best version of Javi Baez, Spencer Torkelson. I was listening to Andy Dierks yesterday talk about Spencer Torkelson and how he has no idea if he's going to end up on the opening day roster or if he's going to start in AAA. But he did say, this is a make it or break it season for Spencer Torkelson. When you get an opportunity, and I think he's right, he will have an opportunity at some point to be on the big league roster because injuries happen. Rosters, you got to bring guys up just simply to have bats. When he gets his opportunity, he has to come through. So far in spring, I think he's batting just above 300. I think he's had about 23 at-bats, unless I don't think he batted yesterday. So there's about 23 at-bats. He's got three home runs. He's batting 304. It's a very small sample size.
Yeah.
And it's against, you know, spring training pitching.
It's always tough. Like, how big a deal to make of spring training? You prefer the guys hitting as opposed to not. You know what I mean? Like Jace Young has not had a great spring and no one's burying him, but at the same time, you'd much rather be seeing the ball, hitting the ball, and for Torque, his OPS is over 900 in the spring. Mize, to me, is the one that stands out the most. 8 innings.
Yep.
He's given up less than a base runner an inning. He's got 10 strikeouts. And beyond just the numbers, because the numbers can, you know, you can tell a story that way. What's more important is the velo's up. And the big thing with Mize is whether he can get swing and miss with the splitter. It's got downward action. He's able to throw it the same plane as the fastball, so hitters don't see it. It drops out. That's his out pitch. It's how he gets out of jams. It's how he gets strikeouts. It's what's unlocking him to being a bona fide starter. Not a one or a two. I think that's probably not going to be the case with him, but could he be the number four on this team? yeah, I'm kind of pumped to see what Casey Mize does. Torque, I've got some questions.
Sure.
Baez, I think we all have our concerns. Those two, ironically, though, are more important because they're right-handed bats.
Right. And I think it really comes down to, for Mize and for Torkelson, is there still a measure of hope? Because a lot of people, and rightfully so, most people, I have as well, nobody wants to see Javi Baez.
So have you written off all three?
No.
None of the three, none of them.
I've written off Javi Baez, okay. Even though he's the most likely of these three, yeah. He's going to be on the roster.
I've written off two of the three. I don't think Torque's going to make it either. I hope I'm wrong about all three.
I honestly don't think he will. I still have hope that he does.
Okay.
Casey Mize is probably the one where you look at and you go, that's, of the three, he's the most trustable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's, you know, what does trustable mean?
Is trustable a word?
Trustable? Yeah.
Trustworthy?
Trustworthy. Maybe it's trustworthy. He's the most trustworthy. It could be.
All right.
What? What now?
Yeah, well, there's an odor in the studio. It's
that there is.
Smells like bacon and flatulence.
Oh. Well, the flatulence isn't any good, and that's my apologies.
You let some sweetness fly in the studio. This is a safe zone.
This is a safe zone. We never do that, and I
why?
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry.
All right. Now the other part of this, obviously, it can't be bacon,
yeah.
Real bacon, but it's very smoky, like a bacon,
mm-hmm.
Hickory something. What do you got?
Well, first of all, good for you. Last night, for the first time in the calendar year 2025, we grilled at the Karsh household.
Okay.
Fired up the grill. And we had the hickory wood chips. So it's chicken breast with little potatoes, and it's leftover from the barbecue. And it was seasoned with a carne asada sauce, which was pretty good. And actually, it was my kid liked it. Dad did a good job.
So you did a nice job of grilling chicken.
Yep.
It didn't dry out?
Nope.
Nice job, Doug.
Yep.
That's key with chicken. Chicken's very tough to cook well.
Yes, it is. But this, look, I was so fired up. Got that first grill of the season. Season the grate. Rub the onion all over it. And then so good. So good.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, we said we'd talk some Tigers. We're having some issues with the system to bring you one thing, but we can tell you that someone has shown up in the best shape of their lives. Someone has shown up in the best shape of their lives.
Yeah.
The Tigers tweeted out today a picture of Miguel Cabrera.
Coach Miguel.
Yeah. Saying he's in the best shape of his life.
Working with the first baseman, trying to give him, you know, some pointers here and there. And he looked good. I wouldn't say the best shape of his life. I would say that...
I think they're being sarcastic.
I'm sure they are. But what he didn't look like, it didn't look like he ballooned up. Right?
Yeah.
It looks about the same.
It's funny because I have this belief about larger... like offensive linemen and power hitters, you know, guys that are all rocked up. When their careers end, they go one of two ways. They either balloon or they get super skinny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say Miguel's super skinny, but I think he looks skinny for Miguel.
Yeah. There aren't many, like, I agree when it comes to offensive, defensive linemen.
Yep.
You don't see many that just kind of stay the same.
No.
It's one way or the other.
They either go from like 307 pounds to 407 pounds or to 207 pounds.
Right. Look at Jansen, for instance, right?
Yep.
Yes. But Cabrera looks like he's, I don't know, I would guess he's, because he is 6'4". I'm going to guess he's around 250.
What do you think his maximum playing weight was?
Probably closer to 270, I would think. You know, his muscle weighs more than fat, and he was really strong at one point, but also, you know, also out of shape.
Well, he's got a big smile on his face. Fun to be around.
It's Miggy.
Yep. I mean, look, it's always fun when the legends come back and work with the guys. It makes them feel like they're still part of it. They're in it for, I don't think he's probably working on base running.
No, I don't think that's his role. His role is not to work on base running. Although, he was a very good, I was going to say base runner. I mean, he kind of knew when to push it.
Or he wasn't bad. He wanted to
push it. I mean, there were times he got thrown out by 20 feet, but he also knows that you have to be aggressive on the base paths.
Yep.
To be successful. So there's something there. But I doubt that's why he's there. He's there to teach the first baseman how to play first base.
All right, so yes.
And to just be Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. Yesterday was one of the days where we got to see some of the kids. Tyron Lorenzo had a two-run double as he continues to rake.
Chase Young smoked a home run, pulled it down the right field line, and just crushed it. It was a nice swing. You knew right away it was a home run.
And Max Clark had a base hit.
There you go.
Yep. So I saw something today because I mentioned we're doing fun with Vegas odds, and I saw that the Pistons were 80-1 to win the East. So yeah, I threw down a small wager on the Pistons. What the hell? What do you think the Tigers are to win the American League?
I would guess it's like 30-1, something like that.
Kang, what do you think the Tigers are to win the American League? I know this is out of left field.
Maybe I'll go down to 25-1.
25-1?
I will go 35-1.
They're 10-1.
I guess we should bet Gator.
Look at that.
No, you shouldn't.
Oh yeah.
You're not getting the value.
I'm not getting the value. They're not getting my $5.
No, they're not getting the value you think you should. I was surprised too. I would not have guessed that they were 10-1 to win the American League. What do you make of that?
They saw what the Tigers did last year. Mm-hmm. Team got into the playoffs, knocked off a pretty good Houston team, and damn near knocked off a really good Cleveland team. So do they have the Tigers improve the roster from a year ago? I think the answer is yes. they have improved the roster from a year ago. And now you're looking at New York with Gerrit Cole missing the year with Tommy John. And, you know, there's some shuffling of the deck going around with other teams. And is the East going to be more competitive now because Alex Bregman is there in Boston? It's no guarantee they win, but they didn't win last year. So are they going to help to muck up what's going on in the East? Is Baltimore going to be as good as they were a year ago? I think it's what it kind of tells you is things are up for grabs a little bit in the American League.
So, you know, I was just like going through a bunch of odds today, and the Twins are the favorite to win the division at plus 210. The Tigers are plus 250. The Royals are plus 280, and the Guardians are plus 310. This is actually a very close cluster of teams. It tells you that this division's kind of up for grabs.
And the White Sox?
The White Sox, hold on, are plus 2,500.
There you go.
Correction. Plus 25,000.
There's $5 well spent.
Now that's lighting $5 on fire. The Tigers, however, and the Twins are both 10-1 to win the American League. So the Twins are the favorite to win the division. These two teams are both 10-1 to win the American League, along with Seattle. The teams in the American League ahead of Detroit, you mentioned the Yankees, Baltimore, and Boston. Yankees are still the favorite at plus 390. Baltimore's plus 650. The Red Sox, Rangers, and Astros are plus 800. Then the Tigers are plus 1,000. Look, I'm excited about this season. I think you could be looking at a young core that just gets better, and there's no reason to believe that Riley Green won't get better. Kerry Carpenter is established, and I think pretty much for real, will Colt Keith get better? And then too many other young players to not get excited about, but ultimately, I think there's faith in the Tigers because of the starting pitching. Last year, they did it with a variety of different guys used in a variety of different roles. It was basically, you know, shake all the names up in a hat and pull one out. That's not really true. It was very, very intentional and strategic, but you never knew what you were going to get from the pitching staff from day to day. And AJ Hinch worked it like a maestro. But this year, when you go Flaherty and Skubal at the top of the rotation, that looks pretty damn good. And Flaherty had another good outing yesterday. So, you know, It's really, to me, having that starting pitching that makes me, God, I'm really excited. Really, really excited about what this season may hold for the Tigers. And a 10-1, apparently Vegas is reasonably excited about what this Tiger team is.
Yeah, and nobody, you shouldn't be paying attention to the win-loss record in spring training at this point, and the Tigers aren't exactly lighting the world on fire in spring training with the win-loss record, but it doesn't matter because this is literally just getting yourself in shape and ready to go for the season, working on stuff. What you saw from Flaherty yesterday in the game was over four innings of no-hit baseball. He was really good. Casey Mize goes today. Hopefully he continues to build off what he's done because he's pitched well this spring. This rotation is starting to take shape. Evan Petzold, the Free Press, had an article today that with the pros and cons of Jackson Job making this rotation and making this roster out of spring training, and reminding everybody what Scott Harris had to say about it, that, you know, there's no games playing with him. This is just, if they think that what's going to be best for the Tigers is what they'll do with Jackson Job, they're not going to worry about service time and all that crap. And if you hold them back until May, then the service time doesn't kick in and all this, they're not worried about that. They want the best team going forward here. And if that means Jackson Job's part of the rotation, he'll be part of the rotation.
All right, before the break, we mentioned that, you know, somebody, Baseball Insider, saying this Detroit Tiger looks like a different guy this year. We had some problems with the system. We got it all sorted out. So this is Jeff Pontes from Baseball America. Which Tiger looks like a different guy? There it is. Casey Mize looks like a different guy this year. Mize was, I think, close to being that player that people were going to give up on, where Baez is, where people have very little to no hope, if any hope at all. I don't know. Whatever. But I think Mize was quickly moving towards that stage. It would be, this could be a great development for them.
it would be amazing, you know, to reap the benefits of having a guy who was drafted 1-1. Please. That'd be great. Love to see it. And he's pitched well. You know, I mentioned Spencer Torkelson, the other guy drafted 1-1. It'd be great if he ends up hitting well enough to not only make the roster, but, you know, actually contribute. I saw on Twitter earlier today, Chris McCoskey talked about Colt Keith taking reps at second base, that's been a plan all along. And you think about it, if they want to give Gleyber Torres a rest at second base, they can move Colt Keith over there and have Spencer Torkelson get more reps and more games at first base. If he's hitting, these are things you want to do. You want what's best for the team. Casey Mize pitching well is best for the team. Spencer Torkelson finding his stroke and hitting the ball with power is best for the team. Will it happen? We'll see when the regular season begins. But right now, there's encouraging signs that both of these players can contribute.
All right, straight ahead, Pontes gives his reasons why. What looks different about Casey Mize? We'll play that for you today at 12:02. And let's get into the first of what we expect to be several one-year contracts handed out by Detroit Lions GM Brad Holmes. We'll do that at 12:08 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
3:45, we'll get into college basketball a little bit later in the show. We did do about an hour of it to start. Odyssey.com Rewind if you want that. I wanted to just pass this along before we get into who said it and stuff. I thought it was a really interesting piece. Just kind of a comprehensive, but, you know, quick notes about the Tigers. Jeff Passan does this every spring. And look, there's some interesting quotes in here and a couple of things about your Tigers. It's the things that I know, is what he calls the article. So I wanted to just pass these to people as you're cruising around on a Friday. So you tell me if you're buying or selling what Passan has to say on each thing, okay?
Okay.
So point number one he makes, the season hinges on Tarek Skubal. He writes, the AL Cy Young winner is the best pitcher in baseball, the type of pitcher capable of delivering a season for the ages. Detroit needed every one of his 18 wins last year. And while improvement is difficult to come by when you've turned in a sub 2.5 FIP season, basically your expected ERA, not the real ERA, one of just 15 pitchers to do so in the last 10 years, 15 total. Skubal, matching or besting that number would be rare. Only one pitcher with multiple 2.50 seasons or under. In that stretch, Chris Sale, a decent analog for hard-throwing, high-performing lefties, but also a reminder that being completely dominant tends to have short shelf life. With Detroit whiffing on its pursuit of Bregman, the offense will remain matchup-oriented for Hinch, and the lion's share of the success falls squarely on Skubal. Buy or sell, and do you believe he can become only the second pitcher in a decade to put back-to-back seasons together like he did? They basically repeat last year. You could say no. You wouldn't be wrong.
I'm going to say no because I didn't think that he would do it last year. I didn't think that he would. No, because I wasn't rooting for him to get injured, but I didn't think that he would make it through the whole year healthy, if that makes sense. Didn't think he. So to say that he could do it 2 years in a row, I probably would say at some point he's going to get shut down for some type of an arm injury.
All right, Kenny, you buy or sell what Passan said about Skubal?
I buy it. I'm absolutely on board with that.
You think he can make history and be the second in a decade to do it?
Yeah, I think he can. Just based on what we saw last year, I mean, it seemed like he didn't just get a little bit better last year. He got a lot better last year after showing exactly what he could do.
But do you believe also what Passan's saying is, look, he's going to have to go out and spearhead 17, 18, 19 wins because the rest of the staff isn't good enough?
I do, and I'm not sure I saw anything last year that would tell me that he couldn't injury aside, by the way, because if that's the case, then forget
all
about
right,
it.
All right, so
And yes, Kenny, because I want that to happen.
Sure, yeah.
Let's just hope that injury will stay aside.
That's kind of, and that's my only bugaboo. That's my only hang up. But
so let me give you something super positive, super fun. You tell me if you're buying or selling this level of belief in the following player. Among players with at least 250 plate appearances last year, Kerry Carpenter finished ninth in weighted on-base average, behind only the following. Ready? Aaron Judge, Otani, Kyle Tucker, Juan Soto, Yordan Alvarez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vladdy, and Brent Rooker. That's the company he kept. The first seven are among the top 11 players in baseball, and Rooker is an ascending star. Carpenter, this year, Kerry Carpenter will hit 30 home runs by herself.
Kerry Bonds.
I'm buying. I'm all in on Carpenter this year.
I will. I'll buy into this.
He assassinates right-handed pitching.
And my only hang-up is that's the only pitching he's going to face, is right-handed.
He'll play more against lefties. They've said it. They'll give him a little bit more runway.
Right, sure, that he'll play, but what's his power numbers going to look like against lefties?
Yeah, but think about this. He got hurt, Kenny.
Yeah.
So without getting injured last year, look at the numbers while he was healthy. I think he's a legitimate 30 home run candidate.
I buy also because I do think he's that guy and he's a dog out there, but if I were to pick between the two that you proposed to me, I would take the scooter one first.
So this is titled "The Best Thing I Heard All Spring." It's just a funny quote from Jackson Jobe, who, look, the average fan doesn't know a lot about. He hasn't been up here long. Quote, "I'm done with trying to dot a gnat's ass," Jackson Jobe said. "Just here's my stuff. If you hit it good, odds are probably not." Close quote.
I like the confidence.
I love it.
I do.
I love that. And the last note, just something fun, and I think it's something we know here, but a lot of people nationally, if they read this, go, wait, what? In both August and September, the Tigers bullpen threw more innings in a month than any team had since 2018. And that's when Tampa Bay introduced the concept of an opener. Relievers threw 144 and a third innings.
So they're just catching up on our pitching chaos. No, I'm saying the national media.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Tigers were not really a story until the last 2 weeks in September. Everyone else was like, well, it'll fade. But yeah, 144 and a third innings, 2.9 ERA in August. And they were even better in September with a 2.41 ERA and 141 and two-thirds innings. That's almost 300 innings of baseball and a sub-3 ERA over 2 months.
Yeah,
that's why pitching chaos is unsustainable. But just some fun news and notes from Jeff Passan out of spring training. He does it for every team if you're interested in it. But the Tiger one, I thought, had some really interesting little tidbits.
Kerry Carpenter, that one was...
He's going to hit 30 home runs.
The company that he's in is like, wow.
But see, that's where baseball is different to me than any other sport, is the data. It doesn't lie. Like, the batted ball profile and how you play, and it just, there's always an analytic to tell you, like, hey, even if this guy's not producing in your eyes, the quality of contact, it will turn around. Like, it's just different. Like, there's no metric in basketball for pretty jump shots that didn't go in. 2.47. Like, I don't, fair. Baseball has it, though. It's such a unique thing. But yeah, if you want to whiteboard it, Carpenter, over under 30 and a half home runs. He's going over.
Okay.
He's going to have a monster year. David,
we'll do Tigers receipts coming up.
Perfect. I can't wait. David, ticket text.
Remember, Torque burned us all last year.
I know. I dared to be optimistic with him, and look at how he rewarded us. David, what do you got?
Yeah, someone's saying we don't need Scooble to do what he did last year. We need the other pitchers to come around and give us something. Someone else says, yes, Kerry Carpenter is going to hit over 30 home runs. I can't wait to see it. Going to the ballpark, can't wait. The injury thing is the only strike against Carpenter. He still hasn't played a full season. If he does, 30 home runs are the minimum.
Whoa!
James in Sylvania.
Wow, I like that. Well, look it. Case in point. Last year, 264 at-bats. He had 18 home runs. Guys, if he gets 500 at-bats, I don't see a scenario he doesn't get into the 30s. I mean, he's just a pure hitter. He's got the frame. I mean, he's got to be 225. Big kid, 6'2", 6'3". He just annihilates right-handed pitching. I'm all in on it. Maybe I've cursed him. I'm all in on Kerry Bonds.
I'll make sure that's in the receipts this year.
I will.
No.
And this captain will go down with his ship.
Maybe I'll have to sweeten this and make it like 32 and a half.
Make it 33 and a half.
Oh.
Make it 34. Wow. I don't care.
Somehow I heard a curse word behind that.
Carrie Carpenter to the moon. Big year this year for Carrie Bonds.
The blood moon. The blood moon.
That's right. Let's get to who said it next, shall we? 97.1. All right, welcome in on a Thursday, and we now begin. It feels like in earnest. Championship week, Big Ten tournament rolling. I hate the new logo. RIP the pinwheel. We'll get to that momentarily. But in real time, Rico and I made a decision. You know, in the first day of Rico's 63rd day on the planet, we kind of looked at each other and I said, Rico, it's going to take everything in my power not to open with that Javi Baez thing. And all of a sudden, we're opening up with the Javi Baez. Are you okay? What's going on?
Oh, no, no, no.
Am I about to get hit with a chair?
No, no, you're fine.
Did Aaron Rodgers sign with the Giants? Is that why you and David are snickering at me?
No, 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 no.
Okay.
No, no,
no. So let's just do the Javi thing.
No.
And we'll get to the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. Because he's, you know, the original
player. Yeah. Oh, man.
He can play any position. First base, third base, second base.
Guys,
Javi will cut your grass. He's Booby Miles.
Let me speak in a language Kenny Cott will understand. Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? AJ Hinch and the Tigers, they're cooking a Javi stew here. He started today's game at third base and right on cue committed an error. But it sounds like, feels like, seems like, they are going to try to use Javi at multiple positions. You know, because if you had a hankering for more Javi, I think the 1901 Society is going to be more than happy to give it to you. You know, as David says during the Big Black Rumors segment, open wide, here comes Javi. I want to just ask around the room. Look, I have accepted he will be a part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I need more Javi than playing it short. Like, the idea that you would try him at other positions when he can't even play shortstop at an above average level, I think by the time he got hurt last year, he was a -8 defensive run saved. What exact, now again, face of franchise Matt Vierling. He's hurt. He'll be out to start the year. The Parker Meadows thing doesn't play into this. Javi doesn't play the outfield. But Rico, more Javi?
Yes.
More Javi.
I think you're missing the point.
Yeah, what is the point?
I think the point is he's going to be on the roster, 25-man roster. And here's the new way to justify it. He'll become
versatile.
The Brandon Inge type where you can put him anywhere, and therefore it'll be Javi chaos.
Well, he's got the hitting 220 part down.
I'm just saying, it'll be Javi chaos. You could put him at third. You could put him at short.
Javi chaos.
You could put him wherever. He's the glue. The team loves him. He's the locker room person. Mm-hmm. He's in the clubhouse. They love him. So this is to keep him around, because now if you just say you got to play short, well, you can, but wait, he could also play third. Oh, we get a little 2-for-1 with him. Mm. Okay, so between that and maybe a little DH, like, you can move him all around. Javi chaos. You're not getting rid of him, so you know what you basically did is you put him in the kitchen and you changed the menu a little bit and says, and now here's Javi with fries.
Am I wrong that this upsets me? Like, I was in acceptance phase, but then the Tigers had to go, okay, let's push the limit even more. I mean, Kenny, David, Javi now multi-position, maybe seeing him at third some days. I thought the Tigers valued defense. I thought the Tigers cared about positional flexibility that was real. Now, it's bad enough you have Javi and Gleyber Torres as the middle of your infield. But, Kenny, how about the idea of a guy who's never played third base on a regular basis, not in the last 5, 6, 7 years, Javi at third?
And people want to tout his defensive metrics. His defensive metrics aren't as good as people think they are. Now you're moving him to third. I don't get it. You're not wrong to be upset by it, because I think once you've settled in and said, all right, he's going to be your shortstop, that's our new reality, I've accepted this, and now they're giving you more, then the only cure is more Javi.
Right.
No.
Right, they looked in the storeroom and said, oh, we got surplus Javi. We got to get this out. Let's repackage this deal. Guys, you can still be in acceptance phase and just know that he was always going to play, and now we're going to try to find different places
to play him more. To play him more. That's what I'm reading out of this. Now, if you want to say, hold on, you bearded bleephole, it's spring training, now's the time to try stuff, you might be right. But take a listen to what AJ said to the morning show today. He didn't have to make a big deal out of it. He broke the news about Javi. Because Costa asked him, is he your everyday shortstop? Now, do we have the part before AJ's phone goes underwater? Okay.
We do, yes.
Take a listen to this. Okay.
But if you were already accepting, Mike.
No, don't. Don't. This is different. This is different. Come on, man. That's not fair.
I'm just saying, Mike, is it that big of a difference that now they're going to find, you know, it's going to be whack-a-Javi. You don't know where he's going to pop.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
It is a problem because this is what I'll say. It wasn't, oh, my gosh, I want Bregman so bad because he's so great. It was, I want him so bad because I don't want this. What we're getting now, if we would have gotten Bregman, we would have known we had that there, and they wouldn't be trying Javi out at third base. We would have our bat, and they wouldn't be trying to force Javi down our throat.
Yes, David.
That's what I don't want.
I agree with you. It looks like, feels like, seems like, sounds like somebody is saying, we got to justify Javi because we're keeping him on the team. We're going to pay him. So let's just run this up the flagpole. Let's see if this hurt us
at multiple spots. Or, that's the ticket.
Or maybe we're just not using him correctly.
Now listen, you guys can do whatever you want to do. It's actually quite nice out. It feels like fall. The sun's out. It's a nice day. There's no yelling. Now, if you want to talk about Cheetos that look like George Bush, that's fine. I'm going a different route. Javi Baez is now maybe going to moonlight at multiple spots, which means more Javi.
You may have stumbled upon this. Cheetos that look like
George. I don't know what it was. Doug and Scott were doing like a Cheeto that looked like Jesus or something. And I said, David, this might be up your alley. I don't know. All I know is Javi Baez is playing third base now. Now, if you want to tell me, all right, they'll never dare do it in the regular season, that's fine. But here's the problem. We also believe they never dare would keep him on this team. That they would never dare make him the everyday shortstop. Yes, Kenneth.
How about a Cheeto that looks like a functioning third baseman? Can you get one of those?
I don't. Yeah, his name's Nolan Arenado.
Here's the thing. I do believe that, like I said, it looks like and seems like they're going to justify having him on this roster. Let's find a place for him where maybe this is going to sound bad because you can't.
Then don't say it.
You can't do it on the diamond, but maybe someplace where we can kind of hide him, but
you
still
can't
use
hide him at the hot corner.
I understand.
You can't hide him at third or short.
You can't hide him anywhere.
That's not how it works. You might be able to hide him at second. The problem is you brought in a corpse at second base. Gleyber can help you offensively, but he's not a good second baseman. I thought this team cared about these things. That's why Parker Meadows has such value, because of his defensive metrics.
But if they cared about these things, Javi would have been shipped off with a check saying thank you for your services a while ago. But we bought him. We're going to use him. We're going to figure out a way. I don't agree with this. Please.
No, it sounds like you do.
I don't.
Are you a ticket rep for the 1901 Society?
No, man,
are you like an incel agent?
Bro, I'm in the 1968 club. All right.
I'll throw the number out.
No, Mike, here's the thing. It's part of the acceptance. Like, you're going to do this regardless of whether I like it or not.
I know that.
So, sure.
But I showed fairness.
Add raisins to the potato salad. Whatever.
Is that a thing?
No, it's not a thing.
Okay.
I'm saying...
I didn't know if we had like cultural differences where you were throwing raisins and potato salad.
No, I'm saying the potato salad's already bad. Now you're just adding raisins to it. Sure. Can it get worse? No. Go ahead.
I just feel like these justifications don't really do it for me.
They don't, but it's what they're going to do.
Look at what this poor fan base is now. Look at this. Look at this. Your team made the playoffs. You're starting a dead body at third. Cheetos that look like Dwayne Johnson, 248. Look, simple, okay? Does this bother you? I can't do simpler radio. Do you believe there's a chance that we get Javi at short and third this year? Which means more Javi. 248-539-9797. You do what you want to do. But I could not let that go.
I almost crashed my vehicle this morning listening to AJ tell me he was starting at third today.
Wait, but then to say, well, you know, he was one of the original guys who were able to play all the positions.
Yeah, right. He's the original Ben Zobrist who plays six positions. Cut it out.
It's their justification, Mike. I don't agree with it.
Then stop justifying it.
I'm just seeing what this is what they're serving.
Sure. You know what? You sound like
I team mouthpiece right now.
And I know you don't believe it, but you're saying it in such a believable manner.
I got my seats in the 1385 club.
See, here's the problem.
1923?
It's 1901. Get it right.
I thought I was going to be out on the Dutton Ranch.
It's probably a better value than Spartan football season tickets where the prices went up. At least Comerica's a nice place.
Glad I don't have season tickets.
You know what? Truer words have never been spoken. David, any ticket techs early, or are people still casting votes on Cheetos?
Javi doesn't play outfield yet. Someone else says, great clubhouse guy, didn't even show up to watch his team in the playoffs.
He was in Cooper Flagg's wheelchair.
Oh, that was amazing.
I thought he showed up for that.
They put him in the Paul Pierce, I gotta take a deuce wheelchair today. Did you see that?
I did. Well, that's why I was like, wait, is that legit or is that the Dwayne Wade wheelchair?
That felt like Paul Pierce against the Lakers. Go ahead.
Why can't Harvey DH and then bat ninth? WTF?
Listen, these are all great questions. I'll leave it over to Tiger spokesman Rico Beard. You don't believe it, but you make it so believable, it has me questioning whether you're moonlighting with the team now.
Sometimes you just have to think like they think.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. I'm good. Third base? No.
You know what? Okay.
Like don't Kendrick, play me for the fool here.
Like Kendrick said, they not like us, okay?
You're putting him at the two most challenging positions, and he can't play his base position well.
Thank you. Kenny talked about his metrics defensively at shortstop. They're not even good. But move him to the hot. Move him there.
David,
move him to third.
I guess. And please, I don't. But, David, you have kids. You know good and well when they're trying to sell you something, and you're like, And they keep doubling down on selling you something. You're like, sure, okay. You know what they're trying to do.
And yeah, but the difference is David can't get rid of his kids. Not legally, at least.
I can't buy them out.
There should be something for parents to buy out their kids, put them in the free agent pool.
They can't get rid of me.
David has renounced the rights to his middle child.
His child's going into the portal.
Two-way contract.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.